You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We are back. Final hour has arrived, and we'll just go over the headlines. Since the Ivy League, the Big Ten announced today, it will play conference only. Other reports indicate the ACC and the Pac-12 may not be far behind. John Talty of AL.com reporting the SEC seemed to be surprised by the move today and has made no move yet to get rid of its non-conference games, although everyone expects that to be going by the wayside. Let's get back to the calls and check in with Randy, who is up next in Texas. Hey, Randy.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Yeah, first-time caller. Thanks for taking it. I listened to Booger earlier, and you know, I believe he really speaks from his heart, but I confess, as an Alabama alumni, I have some different points of view. I guess a couple of things I disagree with is he made a big point about the factors for restarting was related to money. I would say that for alumni like myself, it's a whole lot less to do with what I may or may not give to my college program. It's more about the pure passion for football, which I think your show does a great job of, you know, highlighting. And the other point real quick is he went on about leaders not willing to make big decisions. You know, out here in Texas, I see first responders and construction workers and people making decisions that maybe some people don't think are big decisions, but for them, they're huge decisions. And, you know, this economy is restarting. I realize there are tons of risks, and your show has argued those back and forth. But, you know, when I hit the highway out here, I'm reminded in Texas that, you know, hundreds and thousands of people die on Texas highways, and we still keep getting in our cars. You know, I think, I guess I'll close by saying, I don't know if you're interested in doing a poll, but I would love to get a poll from each one of your callers on how many of them would be willing to sign a waiver to sit at an SEC football game in the fall. And, you know, what would be the maximum capacity that they would be willing to sit in? You know, is it half full, tenth full, 100% full? I think that'd be a real interesting way of shaping the conversation going forward.
Thanks. Thank you very much. Really appreciate the call, Randy. Be safe out there. Ollie is in Memphis.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Ollie, I am doing well. Thank you.
I was calling primarily about the gentleman talking about that he was uncomfortable with politics and sports, and then if he sees a need, he would turn it off. Well, first off, the athletes that were protesting had absolutely nothing to do with protesting the country or the soldiers that they live in. I love this country. This country has problems. And the soldiers that fought and died, they also died for the right of those gentlemen that want to protest. That's what this country is founded on, is protest. The other assertion that we gave these athletes the platform, I totally disagree with the athletes, and the coaches gave themselves the platform. This whole fallacy that athletes are just some lucky guys, these guys work their butts off to get where they are. And I think it's just, if they're not lucky, they're blessed, but they're blessed by their work ethic that made them into the star athletes that we want to see. Other thing is, If you're uncomfortable, that's the purpose of protest, is to make you uncomfortable, to understand the plight of African Americans in this country. And other than that, I mean, I love this country. Black lives matter. All lives matter. And I love your show, Paul.
Thank you for calling. We appreciate that very, very much. Robert is up next in Florida. Hey, Robert. Robert, you there? I never heard from Robert, so we'll go to Troop next in Alabama. Hello, Troop.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for your show.
Thank you.
What a day. What a day. A day that I think we all probably knew in our hearts was coming, but we hoped with Peter Pan like naivete that it would not. But it is upon us. I want to address one of your previous callers, George, first. Probably one of the most asinine statements I've ever heard, that how dare athletes use the platform they've been given for political purposes. I must say, thank God that they have. He also mentioned that America is a great country, which it is. He mentioned that we have a ways to go in this country, which we do, but we would be a shadow of ourselves if not for athletes using their platform for political gain. From Jesse Owens, a great Alabamian, to Jackie Robinson, to Muhammad Ali, to the Olympians who raised their black fist gloves at the Olympics. It was those shaking moments that were seen on TV, athletes that took great risks financially and personally to stand up for something that they believe in, that caused America to look at the open wounds, that caused America to look at the scabs that they have and address them. And had they not done that, we wouldn't be where we are today. To say that, how dare they do that? No, sir. No, I thank God that they did. They were part of what helped to shatter the glass ceiling over and over again, and to make us look at ourselves and to advance a little further and a little further and a little further. And we do have a ways to go. And I hope and I pray that that we keep raising athletes and empowering them to stand up for what they believe in, to stand up for injustice and inequity that still exists today. So I disagree wholeheartedly with that comment, and really probably with the root upon which that comment came from. I think it is absolutely incorrect. Absolutely incorrect. As far as where we are in college football, I think all these wheels got to rolling into motion the day that our president decided to make wearing a mask a political statement. That was the trigger that the wheels began to roll that took us to the point that we are today, when every health expert, every virologist, all the smartest minds in the world said, hey, you need to wear. Greg Sankey said it himself last night, that the careless actions of society has gotten us to where we are right now. But instead, we made it political, and instead of our president sycophants listening to the advice of brilliant doctors, they instead trolled out through social media and found some blogger living in his parents' basement who posted false information about masks not working, and said, there you go, masks don't work, we're not going to wear them because by gosh, this is America and I'm free and you can't make me do it. Those are the actions that got us to where we are today. That's why we sit in the seat that we're sitting today, because one man decided to make this political. So congratulations. And to my state leaders, to Governor Kay Ivey, to Will Ainsworth, thank you so much for not having the cojones to listen to one of the most brilliant virologists in the world at UAB and not mandate masks. That's all it would have taken. You mandate masks, it gives the businesses the power to enforce that, and we're not where we are. But instead, you rolled over to the political right, extreme right in this country and in your state, and we're here today. So thank you very much, Ms. Ivey. Thank you very much, Will, for putting us where we are with college football. You did a great job. You've really served your citizenship well.
Thank you, Troop. Appreciate the call. Let's check in with Robert, who is up next. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Paul. I just wanted to give you a few initial thoughts, and you can tell me whether they're valid or invalid with respect to the Big Ten, was that it was a pointed jab at the ACC and SEC for still only playing 8 conference games. And given the acute need for revenue, whether this might be some level of permanence, given that these games will probably draw better ratings than a MAC SEC game or a MAC Big Ten game, and then whether this really marks the end of the Group of Five based on this
decision? You know, it's interesting because the Group of Five, you know, took a really terrible deal to get a team involved in the play in the New Year's bowl games or whatever they call it now. And they needed that money, and now they've lost it, and they may not. You're right; they may not ever get it back.
But do you think also the SEC now will be forced?
Yeah,
to
I think the SEC right now is wrestling with how they want to couch this. I mean, the SEC has been, I can tell you, has been talking about a 10-game conference season for weeks. But I think they were hoping to put this off as long as possible. They were also sending out, not the SEC per se, but various schools were sending out a lot of mixed messages talking about full stadiums and tickets when that's not a reality anymore.
And if this does come to fruition this year, and I think it's obviously tenuous, who decides who from the SEC West goes to Athens and Gainesville and who gets to go to Columbia and Nashville?
I was told the other day that they have a lot of overboard schedules being played with, and I don't think they have it. I don't think any. I bet they could show you a schedule today, what it looks like. And I don't know how to answer that question though. It's a really good one, by the way. All I know is that if the SEC does go to conference games only, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I'm so far away from college football season. I don't even have a schedule in front of me right now. I know Alabama hosts Georgia on September 19th. You know, who gets added? That is a really good question.
I'm sure they don't want to go to Gainesville after that, but they would prefer to go up to Nashville or Lexington.
Yeah, and you still. How about that? How about the cocktail party in Jacksonville with no fans?
Well, we got a big event coming up that's going to be outdoors apparently. So let us get through that one at the end of August.
Oh, I forgot about that. I'm assuming that's still on. Hey, by the way, I live in the city. Yeah. I live in the city that lost it. I'm glad you got it.
Yeah, thanks. We owe you one.
Thank you very much. We'll take a short break. Back with much, much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back. Been a busy day. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Matt is in Chicago on this Thursday afternoon.
Hello, Paul. It's an honor to speak with you.
Thank you so much.
Not that I'm a Notre Dame fan, because I'm not. But you know, I'm just thinking. You know, this Big Ten thing is the first domino to fall, and we're going to see a lot of other conferences cover this. And if that's the case, you know, what does a team like Notre Dame do? And of course, the first reaction to that is, well, they just go to the ACC. Well, do they go to the ACC and become a full member, or do they just get to play ACC teams? And if they go to the ACC, or, you know, if they think of going to the ACC, doesn't that kind of ruin this, you know, regionality that we're trying to do? I mean, they're, you know, across the country from a lot of these teams.
Yeah, Notre Dame to Miami is a long way.
Yeah. So, you know, what are the chances that maybe another conference, say someone like the Big Ten, would then entertain someone like Notre Dame to come aboard in this pinch that they're in? I mean, what would you do if you were the athletic director at Notre Dame right now?
Yeah, well, the problem that Jack Swarbrick has is he's already in the ACC in everything but football. So, you know, however that's worked out, that's where they are. And I mean, I think Notre Dame, just assuming this goes off, they're just parking in the ACC for this year. I've always thought they should be in the Big Ten. It's natural. It's normal. I mean, you tell me. You're sitting there in Chicago. Notre Dame playing Duke or Notre Dame playing Michigan State?
Right. Or Michigan or, yeah, you know, or Northwestern, which is right up the road. Or
yeah,
Illinois, that's right down the road. Yeah, I mean, it's it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
No,
I mean,
it never has. But, and I don't remember, you know, this came up years ago, and you may be too young to remember, 25 years ago, that there was a big conversation about it, and Notre Dame did what it's always done, say, you know, we're too good for that.
And I think that goes back to what is back in the 20s, that Notre Dame said to the Big Ten, we want to join you, and the Big Ten says, no, we don't want you, and that kind of ticked them off, so they, you know, they took their ball and went home.
Yeah, you know, we've had a few world wars since then. I mean, I think it's time Notre Dame moved on, don't you?
I agree. And, you know, I just, Notre Dame's one of those teams that I just don't like because they've always wanted to have their cake and eat it too. Texas is kind of that way as well. But, you know, I just think that they're in a pickle this year, and I'm really interested to see how this plays out.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. Thank you. I think Arkansas was supposed to play Notre Dame. JJ is up next in Arkansas. Hello, JJ.
Wow, Paul, it's kind of crazy. That's exactly what I was calling to ask about was our big Notre Dame game. First-time caller. Love the show. Love what you're doing. Keep it up. And I was kind of reflecting, as an Arkansas fan, I live over here in Fayetteville for about 12 years, you know, so I've seen the rise and demise of our program, really. And I just wanted to know if you had been keeping up with or knew anything about, you know, our contract dispute with old Chet Norris, the way we were kind of attacking that. And then also with Brett Bielema, the way we kind of stood up and we're, you know, going to be the first people to really file a lawsuit and contest.
Yeah,
that
I haven't followed the Norris, but I have followed Bielema just out of maybe entertainment. I hate to say that, but I mean, Bielema has gone from a respected coach to somewhat of a cartoon character. What's the disposition of the, what's the first case about? I think we lost the call. Anyway, we'll see if we can get him back. John is in Connecticut. Hello, John.
Hello, Mr. Feinberg. How are you?
I am well, thank you.
I didn't know you purged people from up here in Connecticut.
Connecticut's a pretty important place to me. I spend a lot of time there. It's where I am. My company is headquartered, so I'm a part-time citizen of Connecticut.
I grew up in the next town over from the campus.
Oh, really?
So, where you are, up on top of the hill, is where I grew up.
Oh, okay. So, I've been to Connecticut all times of the year. I was out there for a while in the summertime, and I loved it. I will tell you that as a Southerner, I do not care for the winters there.
Oh, that makes two of us, because I usually head down south. But I was also calling to thank you, because last year I had a stroke, and I listened to you almost every day. And I used to work for the state of Connecticut, and I could catch you at home on the SEC network, and I couldn't get ESPN is you're not on the station here in Hartford.
Yeah, no, I understand.
And so then I could get in the computer at work and I would listen to it. But I really enjoy your program.
Well, listen,
and,
by the way, how are you coming along?
I'm good. I have a little bit of aplasia, you know, with my speaking, but
sure.
I have to go back with some physical therapy. But otherwise, you know, I'm putting the work in and trying to get through this.
Yeah, you know, I have a friend that went through something like that, and he said something almost identical. He said it's hard work, but you have to do it. And I'm not trying to tell you anything you don't know, but people think these are easy things to overcome. It takes a lot of dedication.
No, but I also want to state that I've been an Alabama fan since I was in high school, which
really
40 something years ago. And as a matter of fact, I watched I went to a Boston College, played Alabama in Foxborough.
I was at the game. That was a Friday afternoon game, if I remember it.
I'm not sure.
It was 1983, because they had a two-game series. They played in 83 and 84. The 84 game was at Legion Field, and Boston College won both games.
Oh, God, I was just thinking about it. We had to get bundled up, because underneath Fox, that was before Foxborough was fixed up for the Patriots, but it was raining underneath the bleachers. Yeah. That's how cold it was. It was like 40.
I vaguely remember that game was the Friday after Thanksgiving, so yeah, it was a pretty brutal day, if I remember it correctly. God.
Yeah. But I love your show. I think you do a great, great job, and I listen to it every day, so.
Well, John, I'll tell you what, you take care of yourself. It's really great to hear from you, and I hope you'll continue to listen and watch and give us a ring when you can.
I will. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Be well.
Take
Thanks
care.
So much.
Bye.
What an inspiring call there. Rowdy is up next. Hey, Rowdy.
Hey, Brother Paul. How are you, sir?
I am. I'm doing okay. I have no complaints.
Good. Paul, I don't think this is breaking news, but I believe it was Monday or Tuesday morning, Steve Sarkisian, the offensive coordinator for the University of Alabama, had to have some, I think, unexpected surgery. I'm not going to say it was.
Yeah, he had a physical, and they found some issues, so they put him in there. And you know, that sounds terrible, but I have friends who are cardiologists. I mean, they're probably listening to music while they're doing that surgery.
Okay, well, where I was going with it, of course, I don't think this season's going to happen, but let's say something happened to where Coach Sarkisian couldn't be the head coach, does Butch Jones not follow him directly? And, he would be the 3 years removed coach from Tennessee.
Yeah, I don't know what would happen. I mean, I do agree with you, though. And they say Sark is – I think Sark is definitely a candidate one of these days, because he's well-respected. He's had a nice run at Alabama. I would be surprised if they went to Butch Jones. That's just a guess.
Well, you're right there. I'm just saying, though, I think he's an assistant to Sarkisian. So if something happened, you see what I was getting at.
Yeah, no, I mean, Butch certainly has the experience, but, you know, I would agree.
Yeah, but turning him over up to the University of Alabama's offense, just putting it in his hands, that would be just like being a head coach again, Paul.
That's an important job.
Absolutely, sir. Absolutely.
Hey, Roddy, you take care of yourself. We're up against a break. We have a little bit of time left if you want to get in at 855-242-7285. We are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy.
It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It's been all about the Big Ten today, the first conference to say we're not playing anything but conference games. Kevin Warren receiving a lot of credit around the country. Nobody else has chimed in yet. There are reports about other conferences huddled right now trying to figure out, do they follow, do they wait, do they ignore? Good question. We don't have any answers, but we'll keep working on it. Let's continue with more calls, and Pat is up next. Pat, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, thanks. Do you think that the Big Ten Conference could be in the position that the NBA was, and everybody's just waiting for a leader to follow?
Well, I think the Big Ten just decided to put off the inevitable. I mean, everyone knows the season is in jeopardy. It's in peril. And I think the Big Ten decided, you know, we're going to be proactive. Kevin Warren, the commissioner, is a very interesting man. I don't want to overact like I know him well, but I have had dinner with him once or twice, and he is an intriguing individual who has done a masterful job in his first couple of months there. And it, you know, he followed a legendary figure in Jim Delaney. And, you know, other conferences are sitting there going right now, I mean, do we want to come out at 9 o'clock tomorrow and announce the same thing? My guess is they probably won't.
Okay, well, that's high praise for someone following Mr. Delaney. That really is. I do have some breaking news for you.
Okay.
The Varsity in downtown Atlanta has closed. They are going to go through a deep cleaning process for COVID-19. They hope to be reopened on Saturday. Have you ever suffered the rite of passage of eating at the Varsity, either in Atlanta or Athens?
Oh, my goodness. I've eaten at the Varsity in Atlanta a couple of times, and I ate at the Varsity in Athens not that long ago. I came over there about a year and a half ago and spent the day with Billy Payne.
Okay.
And we went there afterwards. Not Billy. I mean, Billy was smart enough to go back to Atlanta. But my crew and I went to the Varsity.
What? Wow.
I tell you a funny story. It's one of the most memorable meals I've ever had because I still think I feel sick from it. But do you remember do you remember the 1985 game between Alabama and Georgia on Labor Day night? When the lead changed hands, I think, four times in the final quarter, and Mike Shula was a quarterback at Alabama. He threw a touchdown pass to, I think it was Al Bell at the end, and the game ended about 1 o'clock. It was on ABC, and a friend of mine from the New York Times asked me, he said, "You ever been to the Varsity?" I said, "Sure." He said, "I was thinking about going." So we went there at, I think, 2:30 in the morning and had whatever the worst thing you can have, whether it was chili dogs or burger and fry. I don't remember what it was, but it took me a week to recover.
Yes, that sounds like that. the universe, I'm sorry to say, yes, I do remember that Alabama game.
I thought you would.
They won. In Athens, when I was there, the co-eds had a curfew, and it was mostly 11 o'clock. They didn't care about the men. They figured if they had their thumb on the co-eds, you know. So after curfew, everybody would go to the Varsity. It was a regular meeting place. And just like we were talking about the law yesterday, Well, the varsity has its own lingo, and it's interesting. You can get in trouble if you don't get the lingo right, and they want you to order. You know, what do you have? What do you have? Come on, what do you have? You know, and you got to be ready and have your money and put it down. I won't go into it, but the varsity was invented by someone that Georgia Tech did not think was worthy of being a student there.
Oh, I didn't know.
And left rather unceremoniously. So, but evidently he wasn't an engineer.
Well, but you brought back some great memories, Pat, from my fast food eating days. Pete is up next. Hey, Pete.
Hey, Paul. How you doing? You know what? It's an honor to be on your show. I want to tell you, you're as usual, you're having a good show today, and I'm very grateful for the job that you do and the field of callers that you have to entertain.
Thank you.
You're an honorable man. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. That means a lot.
To try and move forward with this, I don't want to take up too much time because I know lots of callers want to get in. But first of all, I agree with you. I think there's going to be more chips that fall after yesterday and today. All we can do is hope for the best. But the biggest thing I want to say is you had a caller earlier, a guy named Troop, and he went on to criticize the governor of Alabama and everything. And all I'm going to say to him is, you know what, you need to relax, sir. Unless you're that expert that you made yourself out to be, and you know that everything from day one, it should have been, face masks should have been ordered, then you shouldn't be saying that the governor failed everybody by doing that, because no one has stopped anyone from wearing face masks. It's just that this thing is changing on a daily basis, and everyone's trying to adapt to it on a regular basis, and it changes daily. So that's why all these conference presidents and everything, that's why they're having such a hard time making these decisions. It's because it changes so often. And I know you know that. And like I said, you've been a gentleman through this whole thing. And I just thank you for the show that you run.
Thank you very much for calling. Really do appreciate that. Let's continue. Ken is calling next. Hey, Ken.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you.
I just want to say that I love your show. I listen to it every day. I have been listening to it probably for the last 10 years. And I want to say that I think the SEC should follow suit with the Pac-10. I don't think they should play. Not this year. Not till vaccines. I just feel like that they're more at risk of getting sick, and their lives are more important than football. And I'm a huge Auburn and Clemson fan. Huge.
Right.
But I don't want to risk the kids' lives of getting sick. So that's all I wanted to say.
Well, and thank you very much. By the way, people have been asking about where the SEC commissioner is. he has just issued a statement. I will read it to you. This is from the SEC commissioner, Greg Sankey. The Southeastern Conference will continue to meet regularly with our campus leaders in the coming days, guided by medical advisors, to make the important decisions necessary to determine the best path forward. Related to the SEC fall sports. We recognize the challenges ahead and know the well-being of our student athletes, coaches, staff, and fans must remain at the forefront of those decisions. Greg Sankey, a minute ago. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.